It was about a year ago that Occupy Wall Street seemed to be all over the news. You remember these group of protesters who took over Zuccotti Park, Lower Manhattan, and inspired others across the country to do likewise. Among their issues of concern was growing income inequality. And all this took place within the context of a heated presidential election. Now, we can debate the merits of their arguments and the impact of their actions on the national discourse on topics of economics or politics or culture. But there is one undeniable legacy from this movement, and that is a catchphrase. We are the 99%. That is one people will remember for a very long time. Now, the impetus behind this slogan was that society could be divided into two groups. There was the 1% who had a disproportionate amount of wealth, and then there was everybody else. Well, sometimes, I have to confess, it might be nice to be part of the 1%. I'm not. But to have a helicopter, maybe? A huge portfolio? Fancy car? Houses? An island? Maybe I'd like to think I'd have all that money, I could do really good things. But alas, I am among the 99%, as I suspect is everyone else here today. But our friends in Occupy were not the first ones to divide folks up into the 1% and the 99%. Jesus does it in a parable he tells. Were you listening to the stories that Amy read to us a few minutes ago? As parables go, they seem pretty clear, don't they? Someone loses a sheep, and he is concerned. He's going to go out and find that sheep. And he does. And that's cause for celebration. A woman loses some money. She turns the house upside down. She finds the coin. It's cause for a party. Well, how do you understand those stories? Maybe you think, hey, I'm the person who lost the sheep. Maybe I'm the woman who lost the coin. And if I look hard, I'll find the things I really need. Maybe I'll find God's love. Maybe I'll find the path to righteous living, and I'll be rewarded. Nice explanation, but not the right one. The reality is, we are the 1% in this story. We are the missing coin. Now, nobody likes to say, I am a sinner. But, as we've been told, there are two things in life that everybody participates in. We will all die and we all pay taxes. We also all sin. Every single one of us, starting with me, I hope that doesn't disappoint you too much. I have sinned. I will sin. I confess that. I am not perfect. You too, in some way, in some fashion, at some time, have sinned. But there's good news for us in this story. Because the person looking for the sheep, the woman seeking the coin, is God. And God will go to unimaginable lengths to find the sheep who has gone astray, to turn up that lost coin. God is looking and searching and seeking you and me. And God never stops. That's good news. In fact, it's better to be part of this 1% than the other 1%. But as we hear this story, and as we consider this good news, we should remember that parables are shared to challenge us. And we should also remember the context in which these stories are told. And that's this larger narrative. Jesus is traveling from Caesarea Philippi to Jerusalem. This story is taking place in the latter part of his ministry. By now, he has drawn a following. By now, people know who he is. People listen to what he says. They're paying attention to him. And the Pharisees and the law experts notice this. Now, these are people who care about their religion and their faith as they understand it. So they want to see what's going on. And they are a bit concerned when they see with whom Jesus is spending his time. Tax collectors? Sinners? And remember, back in Jesus' day, tax collectors weren't people who worked for the IRS and answered a phone call when you had a problem filling out your 1040 form. These were despised people who worked for the Romans or for Herod. And they not only shook you down for the government, but for themselves. They were often seen as being traitors. And sinners, well, good heavens, those could be fornicators. Those could be people who just don't understand the law and keep breaking the rules. Those are people who may be too poor to take off the Sabbath because they have to find a way to work to feed themselves. Who knows who these sinners are? But Jesus is welcoming them. So Jesus tells this story, these parables. And he wants people to hear what happens when the sheep is found, when the coin is revealed. God rejoices. God celebrates. God isn't looking for them to express disapproval or anger. God loves when people turn back to him. When we hear that God and heaven are more excited about that one person who turns back than the 99 righteous, it's not because God doesn't love the 99 righteous. God does love those people. God delights in them. But that's the baseline. So imagine how excited God is when someone who is alienated, when someone who has strayed comes back. Jesus wants those Pharisees to understand that. He wants you and me to understand that. And this is where we in the church need to listen up and pay attention to what's going on here. Jesus is not letting sinners off the hook. He's not saying, I ignore all the bad things you've done. Prior to this reading, Jesus has said, all those with ears, listen. And here we read that the tax collectors and the sinners were listening. They were repenting. And so Jesus is saying to those Pharisees, how are you going to react to this? To these people who've gone astray, who've fallen off the path, coming back. Are you going to be accepting? Are you going to be happy? Or would you prefer to be self-righteous? To say, nice try, but not good enough. Jesus recognizes the ancient human impulse to knock someone else down so we can feel better. Holier-than-thou thinking has been present in the church since the beginning, and it has been present in the community of the faithful as far back as there have been faithful. That might be a human predisposition, but it's not God's. And so Jesus would have us hear these parables, and the evangelist would have us hear this story and identify with the sheep, the missing coin, and feel loved and searched out and claimed. And also have us identify with those Pharisees so we can think about how we view others in the church, how we want others to view us. So rejoice. For when the sheep is found, God is going to have a party. Rejoice. When the coin turns up, God's going to have a big bash. Rejoice. For we are the 1%. And God will never, ever, ever stop loving.